Hello, this is Pisky, and you're listening to GeoTalk.
That was almost passable.
In this episode of GeoTalk, we speak to Clockwise from Melbourne, Mix catches up with Pesky, Lana and a Muggle, and we take another sneak preview at GeoTalk Video Edition. All this and more on GeoTalk. Well, welcome to GeoTalk episode number 12. It's amazing how quickly 2 weeks flies by and you're ready to do another one. I had a great weekend this weekend. I spent Saturday up at Wentworth Falls, courtesy of Team Web Guy, who organised a geocaching event, the Autumn in the Blueies annual event. Now, last year I didn't make it to because I wasn't in the area at the time, but according to most reports, it was horizontal rain. Now, this time it was beautiful sunshine and everyone turned out in force, and there was probably well over about 30 or 40 different geocachers from different parts of Sydney and the surrounding region, and it was great to catch up with everyone. Lots of stories were shared, and I did take the video camera up with me to do a few interviews and chat to people, particularly about geocoins, because there were somewhere in excess of 100 travel bugs and geocoins. I've never seen so many in the one spot, but it was just so much fun chatting with people that basically I didn't take it out of the bag. So my apologies for not doing that, but you know, hey, sometimes even a GeoTalk producer has to take some time out. So if you ever get the chance to visit a geocaching event, do so. I'll list a couple towards the end of this episode that are occurring in Australia. Now, an interesting post to come out of Canberra in the last week was that there has been a decline in the number of geocaches being hidden. Now, I'd be interested to hear from geocaches around the country and in New Zealand, in the Southern Hemisphere, to see if that's the case. Could it be that maybe the rush around Christmas has died down and the new geocaches are getting more into finding than hiding? Could it be that the days are getting shorter, or is it just that it's getting colder? Have you noticed that geocaches are on the wane? If you do, drop us a line and at geotalk@mac.com and let us know what's happening in your region. Be interesting to find out. And before we get into the GeoTalk trivia question, a bit of a reminder, Mix, who's up in the Hunter Valley, runs a blog which contains a list of all the different forms of media, both print, audio and video, that are being put together by different geocaches around the country, GCA Media. Check it out. I'll give you a link in the show notes. And not only can you find GeoTalk Video Edition and the Audio Edition, which you're listening to now, but you'll also see videos from various other people, including Mix and Team Garner up in Queensland. So check that out. Okay, now it's time for the GeoTalk trivia question. The question for this episode is, as of January 2007, what percentage of geocaches hidden were regular, small, micro, and large? And if you want to stretch your brain a little bit further, which ones have changed since January 2005? The answer to those questions are at the end of this podcast. Well, now it's time for Geocacher Profile. I'm joined on the line from Victoria by Lachlan, also known as Clockwise. How are you going?
Very good. How are you doing?
I'm great. And the reason why we're chatting, we've got a couple of things to discuss, actually. But first of all, let's get into, first of all, how you got into geocaching, how long you've been doing it, what's your name, blah, 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 all the usual stuff.
Right. Well, I got into geocaching. I actually read an article on Slashdot, which is a very common sort of internet nerd website, that linked to a, I think I just mentioned something about GPSs or geocaching or something, and I followed the link, and it looked really, really interesting, and I thought it just looked just unbelievably cool and exciting. But no one else sort of shared my enthusiasm, so it took a couple of months for me to actually go out and buy a GPS, as I didn't know anyone who did geocaching or had a GPS. So I finally went out and bit the bullet and bought myself the cheapest GPS I could find, which was a Gecko GPS, and I went out and found a local cache, and then that was it from there on.
So how many months have you been doing that for?
I've been doing it for quite a while now. I think it's been about over 3 years, 3.5 years or something like that.
Oh, so you're up there with the old timers like myself.
Yeah, but I haven't found that many. I've been doing it very sort of on and off. So. Yeah.
And you still have the old Gecko?
I'm still using the Gecko, that's right. I wouldn't mind upgrading sooner or later, but it seems to do the job at the moment, so...
Now, you've been developing a bit of software, which I've tried out in the last week, and I know you're interested in others trying it out, called GeoMob. Can you tell us a little bit about this software and why it's a bit different?
Yeah, well, I haven't... I never actually got around to subscribing on geocaching.com. I was always just printing off the geocaching sheets of paper. And then I bumped into another geocacher, Biggles Bear, who they found quite a few caches in Melbourne. And they mentioned that it might be possible to view caches on your mobile, because most of us carry around mobile Java-enabled devices. And I had a bit of a look on the internet, and there didn't seem to be anything. And I was fortunate enough to be working with a couple of guys who knew a little bit about programming for your mobile phone. So I thought I could have a bit of a bash at developing something. So I came up with a pretty rudimentary program that you could run on your mobile you could download cache information onto your phone, and similar to a PDA, you could go paperless using your mobile phone. But I originally sort of envisaged it working so that you wouldn't actually have to subscribe to geocaching.com, and you could just copy and paste just whatever text you want and have it appear on your phone. So it's sort of an in-between non-paperless and paperless.
So are you looking to develop it further at this point in time?
I would like to. There's actually quite a lot of difficulty with writing mobile applications because it's actually quite a difficult programming environment, especially for mobiles, where they're quite sort of locked down. If you actually need to develop a good bit of software for a mobile, you need to actually have the whole bit of software tested and get it certified, so that you can read and write data to the mobile phone. And it's actually a very difficult process, and a lot of the stuff isn't standardized, and it's quite difficult to actually get a bit of software working on the mobile. So as it is, the program sort of only works on Nokia mobiles, which is what I've got and what I can kind of easily test on.
So are you interested in other people trying it out and seeing how it works and maybe even picking up from where you've left off to develop it further?
Oh, that'd be brilliant. I'm more than happy to share the code around. If anyone can make use of the code, then by all means, give it a go. If you can get it working on any other mobiles, then, you know, that'd be great. I'm just happy to help out anyone else who wants to geocache on their mobile.
Well, look, I've given it a bit of a trial, and it seems to work out well, and I can say that for those times when I'm out in the field and my Palm Pilot dies, and because I've got one of those ones that don't have the AAA batteries that you put in, you actually have to recharge it. I think this is going to be a bit of a lifesaver. So I'm going to include a link in the show notes. It's a great thing to check out. So thank you for putting that together.
Yeah, the funny thing is that the first group of people who have actually picked up on the software and started using it is a bunch of Danish people. For some reason, they seem to be really early adopters in technology, and I don't know, maybe they're particularly crazy about mobiles, but I've had quite a few emails from the Danish geocaching community who have been using the program, so that's kind of cool.
Oh, well, we'll follow that with interest. Now, you were in at an event on Anzac Day in Victoria, which was hosted in Bendigo. Tell us a little bit about that event.
Yeah, that was the Central Victoria Get Together, Geocaching Get Together event, which I've never actually been to an event. Me and my wife go geocaching quite often, and we've never really sort of bumped into any other geocachers, so that was a really good opportunity to drive up to Bendigo and kind of meet everyone in the scene, all the names that we've seen on all the logs and all the geocaches for the past couple of years. So that was really great. It took us about 2 hours to drive into Bendigo, and there were heaps of people there, over 100 people there, and we got to meet all the sort of the semi-famous Victorian caches and ask them for a couple of hints on how they do their hiding and seeking. And yeah, it was a really good event, really good day. Just heaps of people there, which I was really surprised at. So it was really good fun.
That sounds fantastic. All right, well, I'm not going to keep you too much longer. One other question that I've got to ask. Now, I checked it when I downloaded GeoMob. I checked out your website. Very interesting that you've got a bit of a musical background. Tell us a bit about that.
Oh, musical background. Well, I play guitar in a band. I've been playing guitar for a really long time, and I really like doing that and writing a lot of music and recording music. So the website that I do, metaltheatre.com, I just post and write reviews about instrumental rock music, which isn't a particularly big scene, and there's no sort of other website that's sort of dedicated towards that kind of thing. So that's what I do. And also I like to record instrumental music.
Oh, very cool. Well, I'll include the link to all that stuff so you can check it out. And finally, I must say, if you want to see what Lachlan looks like, he's coming up in a future video edition of Geo Talk, which you might be pleased to know has all been recorded on mobile phones. So all the different bits and pieces that are going to be on this are on mobile phones, including the lovely Spin Doc Bob and, of course, Clockwise. So check that in the future. Lachlan, thanks very much for joining us on Geo Talk.
No worries, Darren.
And that beautiful little bit of music there, that segue, was actually put together by Lachlan. And you can check out more of his music and find out more about the GeoMob Java application by visiting his website, which is at www.metaltheatre.com. And put /GeoMob if you want to find out about his software. Also, I should point out that if you're running a mobile and you're in a mobile accessible area with a G3 phone, you can also navigate to mobile.geocaching.com.au. It's a text-based menu system. I've tried it out again on the weekend. It's fantastic. I'll give you a link on the show notes.
Hi, this is Mix. What you're about to hear is just a bunch of recordings that I made during the Old Brush event. It's a bit shambolic. I've tried to cut out all the nonsense, most of it from Pesky, but it might give you a bit of a taste of the event, or at least what it was like around the campfire, and hopefully you'll enjoy it.
Hi, this is Mix, and with me now is Pesky. He was just telling me a very sad story, and I'm hoping that he'll repeat it. It started out we were discussing whether or not he was Pesky or GeoMonkeys, and the story goes, well, I'll let him tell it.
Well, it started out that my brothers and I were originally a team of geocaches, and we called ourselves Team GeoMonkeys. And during that time, I got given the name of a Pesky GeoMonkey by one of the ideology guys because of various hijinks that we get up to, or I got up to. And so now my brothers have pulled out because they've got real lives. They don't geocache anymore, and so it's just me. So I go by the moniker of Pesky now.
So basically what you're saying is one is the loneliest number.
Yes.
and you are that one. Maybe Bronze will team up with you, and you know, you won't be alone anymore. I think you might be better off alone, but anyway. And with me now is the littlest member of Team Shifter Brains. How are you?
Good.
Do you like caching?
Not really.
Not really. What? That's an honest answer, and we always like those. What's good about caching, though?
When I get the toys.
What's bad about caching?
Because I don't like walking.
So sometimes you've got to walk a long way. And did you have a good day today?
Yes, I did.
What did you do today?
That I was playing with some kids, and I have to go on a long, long walk.
So you did a bit of caching. So what was better, playing with the kids or going caching?
Playing with the kids.
So the best part of caching is probably the social time and hanging out with people.
Yes, it is.
Well, thanks for talking to us.
That's okay.
You got anything else to say?
Well, I did get a cat out of the cache.
What did you get out of the cache?
A cat.
A cat. A little toy cat.
Yes.
With me now is a muggle. Hello.
What?
You're a muggle.
Okay.
Do you know what a muggle is?
No.
Do you know what a geocacher is?
Yes.
So you're not really a muggle. What do we define? I've also got Grank here. What do we define a muggle who knows what geocaching is but doesn't know what a muggle is? What do we call that?
A niece.
A niece. Okay, because she's your niece. Okay. What would I call her?
I don't know, Mix. What would you call her?
I'd probably call her a squib, because in Harry Potter that's someone who knows about the magical world but isn't a magician. But we don't really want to play up the Harry Potter thing too much, because geocaching kind of looks juvenile as it is already. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would agree.
All right, good. So you know what geocaching is?
Yeah.
But you don't know what a muggle is?
Oh, no, I do.
What do you think a muggle is?
Someone who doesn't do geocaching.
That would be right. Well, there she is. So she's got it. Okay, we're a bit too obvious. That's what it comes down to. All right, we'll see you again later.
Well, if you're new to GeoTalk, then you may not have come across GeoTalk Video Edition. Now, it's come about from a few crazy other geocachers by the names of Wingnut and Webguy. Actually, it's been led by Webguy, who have decided to drag me out with a video camera and see how they can torture me while I'm looking for a geocache. Now, episodes 1 and 2 are already online. You can download them for your iPod or for iTunes on Mac or PC. If you want to play it on a Windows machine without iTunes, you'll need to go to the YouTube version. And there's a YouTube channel that's been set up at www.youtube.com/geotalk. And that's where you'll see all the GeoTalk episodes appear. So if you can't get them to work on your PC as a downloadable, just don't bother downloading. Go straight to the YouTube video instead. Please leave some comments. We'd love to hear what you think about them. Whether you know you think they're a bit too dorky or whether you think they're quite funny, and even give them a rating. We'd love to find out more about them. Anyway, the next episode, episode 3, is going to be coming out this Friday on the 11th of May. It's all been put together, but we're not going to release it too early yet. But here's a little bit of a sneak peek of the audio from that edition.
Well, here on the ground, what we've got is some scratchings from a bird that's found throughout this national park. In fact, a lot of parts of Australia, in southeastern Australia, it's called the lyrebird. Now, the lyrebird is kind of like a drab version of a peacock fruit. It has a huge plumage of feathers that are on the back of the male, and they look a bit like a harp or a lyre. They're fairly shy bird normally, but we found a number of them on the walk in this morning that were scratching around, digging for worms and insects that they obviously eat. And one of the interesting things about the lyrebird is it's very good at mimicking different sounds. Not only just bird sounds or animal sounds, but sometimes have been known to mimic mobile phones, the sound of people whistling, even a car or a chainsaw starting. So if you're ever in this part of the country, in the southeast corner, keep your eyes open for the lyrebird.
I had to just show you what the mud looks like that we're walking through. And it's like this a lot of the way through, so it's all good fun. And the tunnel roof is only, well, about 3 feet high. And she's pretty hard going.
Well, I hope that's whet your appetite to hang out till Friday to find out what exactly happens in amongst all that mud and the lyrebirds out in the bush.
Congratulations, you've found it, intentionally or not. The Maine Podcache, the audio companion to MaineGeocachingAssociation.com. Greetings to our Aussie friends. Next time you're visiting the United States, I hope you'll come geocaching in Maine. In the meantime, you can visit online at MaineGeocachingAssociation.com. This is Khaki. Our usual announcer, the Doctor of Rockology, is away, so I'll let you know what's in store for spring. Katahdin Goddess and I are right on screech, dear, because it's that wonderful time of year, right in between mud season and mosquitoes, when the wildflowers are sprouting in the woods and the urban micros start to become muggle central. Join us to talk about the joys and trials of geocaching in the Pine Tree State every month on the 1st and the 15th, free on iTunes and at MaineGeocachingAssociation.com. Live, breathe, cache. Hey,
okay, now it's time to have a look at some of the events that are occurring around the country over the next few weeks. On the 12th of May is a day in the Valley of Hidden Treasures, which is near the Barossa Valley, very close to the township of Kapunda in South Australia. Check that out. On the 9th of June is the Caves, Craters and Caches event, which will be held down in Mount Gambier, which is in the southeast corner of South Australia, during the June long weekend. Now, also on that long weekend, but not yet posted up on the geocaching.com website, is Red Ochre Caching's annual event, and that occurs in Dubbo in New South Wales, and that will be around about the 9th and 10th of June this year.
on the 16th of June down in Victoria, in the central Victorian town of Rochester, just between Bendigo and Echuca, is the first annual Victoria Awards Night. So head to that if you want to find out what are some of the best and most ingenious geocaches in the Victorian region. And finally, on the 23rd of June, the first Geelong Geocaches Get-Together will be held. So for anyone in that region, the Ballerine region, or even down in Werribee or Melbourne, you can head down to that event on the 23rd of June. Now, also occurring around the country, and it's already begun, is the River Deep Mountain High Competition. Now, it's part of the geocaching games that are run by a number of geocaches here in Australia. You can check out more details by visiting their website, which is at www.cachinggames.com/RDMH. So that's for River Deep Mountain High. And the caching game has started already on the 1st of May, and it goes through to the 30th of June, and it's not too late to register. And hopefully in the next episode, we might speak to one of the organisers a bit about the event and how you can get involved. Quick cheerio to Mike, also known as GeoAddict, from Chelsea in Michigan, USA, who dropped me an email in the last 2 weeks. Thanks very much for the email, particularly about the video edition. He was really interested to see us trying to climb up a mountain because apparently in his region of southern Michigan, it's fairly flat. And before we finish up this slightly shorter than usual GeoTalk episode, the answer to the trivia question. Now, the question was, as of January 2007, what percentage of geocaches were regular, small, micro and large? Well, according to the geocaching.com.au website, 51% of geocaches in Australia were regular, 34% were small, 13.5% were micro, and 1.6% were large. Now, I also ask you to compare that to 2005. You might be interested to know that regulars in 2005 made up 78% of geocaches. So they've gone from 78 to 51. Small geocaches have risen from 12% to 34%. Micros have also grown from 7.7% to 13.5%, and larges from 1.8 down to 1.6. Well, that's all for this episode of GeoTalk. As you can probably tell, I'm a little bit congested and I'm at the tail end of a fabulous head cold that seems to be going through most of Sydney at the moment. So if you're getting over one at the moment as we're coming into this changing weather, my sympathy's with you. And if you haven't, stock up on the vitamin C and echinacea. Don't forget, if you've got any comments to leave for the show, drop them at the website, www.geotalk.libsyn.com, and also leave a comment at the iTunes directory page. So if you've got iTunes on your computer and you subscribe to GeoTalk through there, please leave a comment and a rating on that page, because that helps it actually move up the charts, and the higher up it gets, the more people will notice it. So that's another way in which you can get the word out about GeoTalk. And thank you also to all those people who have been burning CDs with previous editions of GeoTalk and dropping them in caches. Thanks very much for doing that. Well, that's it. I will catch you again in 2 weeks' time. And until next time, safe geocaching.